Mini episode 203 of the FDH Lounge is brought to you by Sportsology, delivering unconventional columns and webcasts about sports, TV, music, movies, and more. Follow them on the web at sportsology.info.
The FDH Lounge. You want to schedule your life around it.
A long time ago, on a gloomy, wet Cleveland spring night, two men stand alone amidst the late night drizzle. Their voices echo across the vacant station parking lot as they debate the merits of the great American radio show that have been missing for far too long. On that night, an idea was born. That idea became the FDH Lounge. Welcome to the FDH Lounge.
Welcome to FDH Lounge, mini episode number 203. Rick Morris and Kyle Ross breaking down NFL Week 8 for you. Having to do it this week by phone, we had indicated that we'd be doing this probably a couple times during the season as opposed to sitting down face-to-face. Sometimes the logistics call for it. The irony is the logistics had called for it even before today when, unfortunately, my Mustang chewed up its second belt in 2 weeks. So while my poor car is in the shop, I am happy to be here talking football with Kyle, breaking it down. This format's going to necessitate a tight 45 like we did the last time, breaking down the games, but that is never an issue for us. My cohort here, Kyle Ross, having a heck of a year. Hope you're getting down on his recommended plays. His 2-2 last week brought him to 18-9-1 on the course of the season here, so running at a two-thirds clip. I was 5-8 on all the games last week, 3-0 on my big three, 1-0 on my lock play. 49-52-3 over the course of the season, 10-10-1 on the big three, 5-2 on the locks, which at the end of the day are the only things I'm going to stand by anyways as far as write them in stone. But like I said, Kyle is having a hell of a year, and as a longtime professional handicapper, you would expect nothing less. Here he is, the man, the myth, the legend, my friend Kyle Ross. How you doing, K-Dog?
Very good. Spoken like a true tout, by the way, with the 3-0, and that's our 5-2, and that's all I'm focusing it on. I mean, remember, you didn't go Remember, Ricky, you didn't go 5-8 last week. You went 3-0 with your big plays. Thank you very much.
Yes, and 1-0 on my lock pick for last week. And again,
yeah.
a two-thirds clip for you during the season. For anybody who is at all cynical about you doing it without a net here this year, at all cynical about the tout industry, 18-9-1, verified.
Yeah, I gave a little backlash, but, you know, I think, it's interesting you said you went 5-8. I can't remember what I went, you know, overall, just kind of like giving some of the slight leans out on the other game. I know it was 2-2 with the ones I really put my stamp of approval on, but I did know you went 3-0, so... I kind of was conceding. I kind of figured you might have done better overall, but it's road favorite Ricky. It was the week for road favorite Ricky. Road favorites covered all four games last week, so no wonder why overall I didn't do that great.
You and I actually agreed
on a road favorite last week. Both big New Orleans, and boy, did they was I itching at the end of that game for them to hold on against Tampa Bay. That was a pretty wild game, but. As we speak here, Ricky, I'm in a 50% clip today. I just was able to finish breaking down the last game before I called in here right at the gun, but unfortunately I was not able to get the dog to squat outside, so I'm hitting about 50% today already. I'll see all I can do in the next 45 minutes.
Okay, all right. again, we don't much focus on the Thursday game since we don't have this up in time on the site for that to count. For the record,
nor do I like
my
this
pick,
one.
Tampa Bay with the 5.5. I like the dog.
I just don't really like this game at all. I can see it going either way. These Thursday night games have been sloppy. Both of these teams have outperformed my expectations. Word of warning here, I had given up the two outright dogs the week before. If you want to give this one to your Twitter followers, I got one for you, Ricky, when we're done here. And I'm giving you plenty of time to get it out, too. No rush on this whatsoever. Last week, stepped off the board a little freebie on Oregon. Did you like that one? 43-7, 5 minutes in the second quarter. Let's go a little exotic on you. Let's go a little NBA for you next week. Next Tuesday, opening night. I don't even know the line. Take Boston plus the points against Miami. That's how confident I am. Don't even know the line. I don't even think it's out yet.
All right. Well, people, when they see this on Twitter, can now go back and check the origins
of that
advice.
Don't even worry about the line. Take them. Defending NBA champions, I can't even remember the last year one cover on opening night. They always stink. Yeah,
so, that's
go
true.
With Boston
that's...
plus the points. Go with Boston plus the points. Don't know what the points is. Don't know if the line's available.
Good call on that one, to be sure. First game we're starting with this week, there is no true home or away team. They're both away. Technically, I guess St. Louis is the home team in this one here. In England at, I believe, E. Old Wembley, heretofore mm-hmm. most famous for Hart Bulldog in 92 at SummerSlam. The
sure
line on this one.
I'm thinking this week.
Yeah. The line on this one is 7 with the Patriots. In a game like this one, you know, if it were actually in St. Louis, I might think they have had a decent chance at the backdoor cover. Certainly they've been a lot mentally tougher under Jeff Fisher than the last couple of years. But this just looks like a showcase game for New England, I think. I look for them to pull away and cover it.
I know we're going to talk probably a great deal about Philadelphia later when we hit their game against Atlanta, because I can almost guarantee we will be at stern disagreement there. But I reference that just to peek ahead because I've heard you throughout the season call the Eagles, you know, the worst 2-0, the worst 3-1, the worst 3-2, the worst 3-3 team in history. Conversely, I could make a case the Patriots are like the best 4-3 team in history. Couldn't you? I mean, they easily could be 7-0. I was pretty disappointed that they couldn't cover last week against the Jets. It seemed like they were going to, but they couldn't put the game away. You know, obviously road favorites are not my thing, but like you mentioned, this is not a true road favorite. New England actually went over to London a couple years ago and really put the boots to a bad Tampa Bay team. I don't think the setting will be too much of a problem, too much firepower for St. Louis, who just lost by 10 to Green Bay at home. Green Bay and New England are actually fairly comparable, two teams that are much better than their 4-3 record indicates. I'll lay the number with New England here, Ricky.
Yeah, I had a feeling we might be in agreement on that. And I agree about New England also, too. In my power rankings, consistently, I've been rating them above what their record is through the course of the season. I certainly agree with you on that.
I think they're a top-five team, and I really mean it. I think I'm going to anger you with our discussion of Philadelphia-Atlanta later on. Yeah, I believe you will attempt to jump through the phone and attack me. It might be good to have this person this week.
I look forward to seeing if I'm going to try to do that or not.
Yes.
The next one I can't even begin to imagine if we're going to agree on this next one here. The next one we're going with is arguably the worst team in the league. They're 32 in my power rankings, Jacksonville, and arguably the best team in the league. They're not number one in my power rankings, but I picked them to win the Super Bowl, Green Bay. It took a while for the line to come out this week. Green Bay is laying 15.5 down from 16 earlier. There will be no Mo Jones-Drew in this one here. Again, I understand the perils of a line this big, but this has got target practice written all over it. The worst team in the league without their Pro Bowl running back in Green Bay, unless you figure that a letdown's coming, and I don't think that's the case. The Packers look like they're just getting into gear. This one might be historically ugly. I say lay the points.
I'm passing on sheer principle. I mean, well, one of two passes this week. I know I chicken. I just can't recommend. I cannot lay. I know I can't disagree with anything you just said, first of all. But at the same time, I can't lay 16 points in an NFL game. And conversely, I can't play Jacksonville. Although, last week, I did like them. I almost wanted to call you. I was still kind of recovering from a post-Michigan-Michigan State hangover last Sunday morning. And I saw that the line for the Jags had gone all the way up to 6 against Oakland. I really liked Jacksonville. I got down on it myself, actually, Sunday morning. But that was Oakland. This is Green Bay. No thank you in this game at all. Pass.
Okay.
It was just nothing.
All right.
Don't play this game. Unless you really like Ricky. The man said nothing wrong. Rick said nothing wrong there.
Okay, well, we are now at that game that you envisioned might cause some fireworks here, the Michael Vick Bowl. Philadelphia is laying 2.5 at home against Atlanta. They started by laying 1, and the line has just gone up.
That's an early line move. That's an early line move, too, Ricky. That was a very early line move.
Okay. I'm looking at this. I guess at the end of the day, I just can't get past Atlanta's still an undefeated team. And I see in Philadelphia being favored over them. I understand that they're at home, residuals of what we all thought before the season here. I guess, and again, and I know that sometimes this costs me in my handicapping, but I can't get over the notion of Atlanta being a dog against a team that, as far as I'm concerned, they're way better than. I just can't get past that. I'm going to take the points here with Atlanta on the road.
This is my first of four recommended plays this week. It is obviously, as I gave a spoiler, I believe, last week, going to be on the Philadelphia Eagles. The early line move, both, I don't want to say concerned or surprised, I don't know. It definitely made me sit up and take notice. As you recall, just a couple weeks ago, I gave a spoiler. It was actually last time we did this by phone. I told you the next week I was taking the Browns, no matter what, to beat Cincinnati. There was a really early line move. I don't know if a lot of people listening to this show or what are taking my advice. Maybe they are. Maybe that's the perfect advice. But I'm going to tell you something that I think is just going to make you vomit. Vegas has the Falcons rated as the seventh best team in the NFL.
I can't even begin to fathom that. All they do is win.
And I'll tell you what, they haven't beaten anyone that good yet. Denver was their best win. I could argue if they, you know, obviously you can go back to 80% of NFL games and find something here, find something there, and say if this team didn't do that, the result could have been entirely different. But they were holding on for dear life in that game. People still don't trust this team. I just think they're due to lose. Obviously, you and everyone and their mother has heard the stat about Reed being 13-0 straight up off a bye. The Eagles just have to win this game, or it's over. I mean, they shouldn't even play the rest of the season. If they are so desperate. I was a little disconcerted to see them open as a favorite. I should have known better. Vegas still regards Philadelphia as a top 10 team, by the way. And that's why the line is where it is. The early line move suggests a desperate Eagles team will somehow get the win, although they have clearly played poor in every facet of the game compared to Atlanta this year. But I am Philadelphia, really like them this week, -2.5. That's the first of four recommended plays.
The one caveat that I have to my pick is in a similar circumstance, I had a strong play going against the Eagles when they beat the Giants. And that was, Philadelphia,
the last time they were
this desperate. Yeah. So
this
is a little reminiscent of that. You know, it should make me a little nervous, but it doesn't. I'm gonna take the Falcons on the road. I know they got to lose at some point.
I know the Falcons are off their bye, too, but I just think they're due to lose. I keep in mind, they're 6-0, but four of the wins have come against the horrible AFC West. So
yeah, I'll give you that.
There are people, not just Vegas, that think they're the fifth best team in the NFC right now.
Oh, I think that's a huge exaggeration.
Just food for thought. I mean, I don't think it's ridiculous to say Giants, Packers, Niners, Bears all might be better than Atlanta, despite the record.
The 49ers have laid down and died in a couple of the games. The Falcons haven't done that, so... You know, that would be my...
That Vikings loss doesn't look nearly as bad anymore. The Giants one certainly was a lot eye-raising.
The Giants are an excellent team, but you shouldn't get...
I mean, this just in, and I'll say this so we talk about that game down the road, because that's another game. That's the game that even had me scratching my head initially, the Giants-Cowboys.
Yeah. For San Francisco, they should never get housed by the Giants that bad in their own barn, especially in a revenge game from the NFC Championship last year. This next one's a real head scratcher for me. I don't think I've been right on a single Seahawks game all year. When I picked them to win, they've lost, and vice versa. And when I say win or lose, I obviously mean cover. Detroit, similarly, I think I've been right on them once, maybe twice. They are playing each other. It is in Detroit. The Lions are laying 2.5 down from 3 early on. Again, I go back and forth on this one. At the end of the day, I'm going to go back to the precept that our own Nate Noy has given me earlier this year. And I realize it's led me astray a few times, but rookie quarterback on the road, Russell Wilson, I think it's going to be loud in the dome. I'm going to use the same reasoning with Detroit that you used with Philadelphia. This is a must-win for the Lions. They got to win this game. If they lose, they're in football. If not its toughest division, then very close to being its toughest division. They need this one. Lions to cover the 2.5 at home.
Yeah, I like the line move to 2.5 because obviously I like them a little more. Although they're not the better team and they're laying points, so that's not my favorite situation. But they are desperate. Seattle, that strong home road dichotomy.
that I've spoken of all season. Seattle, typically the rule of thumb is take them at home, fade them on the road. That's what I do essentially every week. By the way, I was so glad I laid off both of these teams' games last week. You talk about the perils of being a sports bettor. Just to rehash for those who may have not been watching the game, obviously it's been so long since last Thursday where Seattle, you know, was kind of, you know, San Francisco bettors were just left outraged when Coach Jim Harbaugh didn't take the safety that would have given the Niners the cover.
Yeah.
At the end of the game. Remember that? I mean, that was insane. I kind of stopped paying attention at that point because it was a pretty boring game. But then when I heard safety, I was like, oh, my God, they just got the cover. And then there was a discussion. I said, oh, I just laughed. And then Detroit, a team that had no business earning itself an ATS win last week, backdoor Chicago in the worst way with the garbage touchdown to cover by half a point. Thank God I did not play either of those games.
Yeah, that hurt me on Monday night. And the Thursday night game hurt me also.
I didn't mean to interrupt. I'm sorry.
No.
The situation is very similar in this game to Philly-Atlanta, but the reason I'm strong on Philly is I still do believe in them a little bit. Detroit is
okay.
Bad. Detroit is really bad. I mean, they look horrible.
They're going to regress. We called that coming into this year, and they have.
Yeah,
but I'll tell you what, though.
They would not be in the playoffs.
Yeah, we both called that. We were right about that. They're clearly not. I'll tell you one thing I'm looking for in this game here, and it's not just as an optimistic Megatron owner. He is due for some progression to the mean. Richard Sherman just stepped on Superman's cape. I think we're going to see the best game of the year from Calvin Johnson, and I think that's one of the reasons that I'm picking Detroit.
Oh, yeah, I hear you. Seattle got but sure, that Seattle secondary is really good. You know what I mean?
They result
in coaching up Pete smacking a lot of backside there on the sideline, I think. So.
Yeah, but they just pissed off the best wide receiver in the league and a guy who's been looking, you know, who's due for some more touchdowns. We all knew he wasn't going to be at the pace of last year where it was like 17 touchdowns, but I believe he has one at this point. That, that's not going to continue to be the case. And I think we're going to see them bust loose this week. Very interesting rivalry in this next one here. New York Jets hosting Miami, their second meeting of the season. The Jets won a real tough one earlier in the season. Jets are laying 2.5, had been as high as 3, had been as low as 1. Freaky line movement in this one. Again, I'm going back and forth on this one. Certainly, both teams have really been kind of inconsistent. But the Jets are the more talented, if inconsistent, team here. And again, for me, the tiebreaker, although I know he did it against Cincinnati, but rookie quarterback on the road. I don't see Tannehill doing this twice in the span of about a month. I'll say away the points with the Jets at home.
I actually really like Miami here.
Okay, is this
a
recommended
really like
play?
Miami. Yeah, this is a recommended play. It's my second of 4 this week will be Miami.
Okay.
I think they're just better than the Jets. And the Jets, what have I been saying? I know they've covered 3 weeks in a row, but the general rule for me going into the year was going to be play against the opposite week, the opposite of last week's results. If they were coming off a big win, I'm going to go against them. If they're coming off, you know, a bad loss, go with them. That certainly worked more times than it hasn't this year. I know they were able to stick with New England. Well, they were lucky to beat Miami the first time. The kicker for the Dolphins missed like 5 times or something in that game.
Yep.
And I want to take you back to when we did the AFC East preview. Remember what I said about Miami? I said the same thing about Cincinnati last year, that the stock was way too low on this team going into the year. You know, the hard knocks thing, everyone's like, oh, this Joe Philbin's an idiot. He doesn't know what he's doing. Why are we watching this except for Tannehill's hot wife? They have no receivers. Miami was not as bad as people thought before the year. I said they'd win probably 6 or 7 games. They're 3-3, and I think people are going to look at this match and say, oh, there's no way Miami's going to have a winning record. But the Jets just aren't good at all. Put Tim Tebow in, for God's sake.
Well, you like Tebow because he moves the needle, but
I sensed a long distance move the needle cha cha there from Rick Morris.
Yeah,
but I mean, come on, look,
just get it over with. I mean, it, the poor guy, Sanchez, if it's not Benham, he's going to look over his shoulder at Tebow the whole time. And Eva Longoria told him to hit the bricks. He's going to be a mess. I look for an atrocious Mark Sanchez effort. Don't forget, by the way, it was Miami that Tebow made his first start against around this time last year and started Tebow Mania, a phenomenon that I know you loved every second of.
Well, the thing about the Dolphins is they're tough to run on, so anybody that got fantasy production while the grass was green out of Sean Green, that ain't going to happen again this week. But you can pass on them. So Sanchez is vulnerable, but so is that secondary.
Yeah, agreed. I just see the Dolphins winning a low-scoring game. The Jets have sort of been phony competitive the last couple games. Even in defeat, I think they're – even though they've lost, it's interesting because usually – they were the last, 3 years, a sky is falling kind of team, like the Cowboys, off a loss. But it seems that, people have such little regard for that offense that they're kind of been pleasantly surprised. They stuck with Houston. They stuck with New England. They waxed Indianapolis in between. I just see Miami, a Miami team that deserved probably to win that overtime game early in the year. I think it was week three, perhaps, if memory serves me correct. I see Miami coming out ahead on this one. But better team with the points.
It's going to be an explosion in New York if that happens. The media will go absolutely ape shiite, as they might say in Iran.
I actually think I'm sure somewhere Skip Bayless is listening and applauding. This could be the final start for Mark Sanchez. I really truly believe that.
Wow. Wow. They're going to have a lot of dead money to eat if that's the case.
Yes.
Next game here has seen some wild line movements either way. Pittsburgh is at home laying 4.5 to Washington. This one started at 3.5, jumped to 5, has receded slightly to 4.5. But you've seen a lot of motion going the one way on this here. Again, this is one where I know it's on the road. I know it's a case of the rookie QB, as I've said a couple times this week. But, all they got to do is cover. All they got to do is stay within about 3 or 4. I'm going to say take the Redskins and the points on the road.
I'm glad that this game finally came up. I hope I have not missed one yet. I don't think I have. Actually, I have. There has been one non-conference game, but it's a weird circumstance with that game being held over in London. AFC versus NFC here. NFC clearly to the superior conference this year. Although I did take New England against St. Louis, I just think that one's kind of a bit of a mismatch. Pittsburgh's not that good, really. And I think Washington, specifically RG3, still a little on the overhyped side. I root for people to succeed, and I think it's great that this past April has given this league two quarterbacks are going to be very good for a long time. I would like to see the greats can't be around forever. So whenever you get two in the same draft, you had five picked in the first round, but you have the ones at the top are definitely going to be all pros, I think, for years to come. I just see you're right. The number just seems to be generous. And NFC underdogs, if I read this correct earlier in the week, have covered 85% of the time this year.
Wow.
So, yeah, take Washington plus the number. They'll probably lose close. Look for Russ. By the way, I think it's interesting, all the people. Can I go on a rant here? I'm picking Washington. It's not an official.
Yeah.
It's not a recommended, but I slightly lean to Washington. All these people jumping on the RG3 bandwagon right now and jumping off the Cam Newton bandwagon, my main man, Cam. Oh, boy, Cam, it's tough to defend. But is it Griffin doing pretty much the same thing Newton did last year, where he's just losing a lot of close games and putting up good numbers?
Yeah,
I mean,
true.
I mean, people are giving him the old, here's a reference you'll like. I worked on it earlier in the week, Ricky. They're giving, RG3 the old Stone Cold Steve Austin treatment, shades of the I Quit match back at WrestleMania, where, he lost, but he's kind of like being viewed as the ultimate winner against the Giants. I mean, they lost that game, and this isn't pro wrestling. This is an industry where, wins and losses matter. So, he won. I mean, everyone's talking about this game, he's the MVP and things like that. He lost last week. I mean, he's doing okay. Washington does not have a lot of talent, in my opinion, and I don't like Mike Shanahan by any means. But I just think that, I was happy to see some of the luck defenders come out this week. And I think they both have the same amount of wins, for crying out loud. I mean, Griffin, wow, Griffin's making bigger plays with his feet. Who didn't think that was going to happen coming into the year?
Well, first of all, how delicious is this? It's your boy, the Bristol sensationalist Michael Wilbon, who I heard pushing Griffin from
This is a man with decades of experience in the newspaper industry.
But it's funny. It's funny that you mention him and Newton in the same breath, because I just made the midseason revisions here to the every week start list for fantasydrafthelp.com. The only guy pulled from the every week start list was Newton. The guys added to the list were RG3, Peyton Manning, and Frank Gore. So kind of interesting that you couple them same breath.
Look, he's played very well, and I see this being, if this dumb Todd Haley can get out of Ben Roethlisberger's way, this could be a really fun game. Put this one on your direct TV, kids. Pittsburgh is so much better when Roethlisberger. You may not like him, but God, is he good on third down. You know, people talk about RG3, the play he made on third down last week. Roethlisberger's done that for like 8 years. Big deal.
Well, you talking about that one being a fun game. Nobody's going to call this next one that. It's a historic AFC West rivalry, but a battle of two teams that absolutely blow goats right now. It's Oakland at Kansas City. The Chiefs are laying one at some point earlier in the week. It started at one. It went up to two. It's back to one now. Again, I'm just looking at this. It's a matter of who am I more down on at this point. I'm actually more down, and this is consistent through the course of the season, I'm more down on Kansas City. They haven't handled themselves very well against the Raiders in recent memory here. The wheels are coming off. I think Oakland actually rips one on the road.
Kansas City, what has happened to you? Can you imagine how good my overall record would be this year if it wasn't for this Kansas City? Thank God I couldn't lose on them last week. This boils down to Oakland off a win, Kansas City off a bye. I know I'm laying points, albeit one, with the esteemed Brady Quinn. And I know Kansas City got housed by Tampa Bay in its last game. I have these teams right now rated as the third and fourth worst teams in the league, Cleveland and Jacksonville being the only two below them. Look, I know it sounds crazy, and I know it's insane. They say insanity. What is it? Doing the same thing over and over again, expecting the same result. Call me insane in the membrane, man. Third of four recommended plays this week. Go with Kansas City.
Well, you are
I'm going
something
down
else.
With the ship, baby. I'm going down with this ship. That turnover rate can't continue. And Oakland was lucky to beat Jacksonville, by the way, at home last week. Oakland has two wins, both on a Janikowski late kick, the great Sebastian Janikowski, I'd like to add. But off their last win, they laid an absolute egg on the division road at Denver. Now, Denver's much better than Kansas City, but at the same time, Kansas City does not need to win like 31 points.
You chose the phrase insane in the membrane, because rumor has it that applies to you for the same reason as the fellows that sung the song. But
Cypress Hill, I know that's a little bit out of your wheelhouse there, Ricky. I know you were scrambling for the search button on Spotify, though. I'll save you the trouble.
Well, actually, I just made an insider reference to that song, actually. So,
okay, there we go. Okay, I didn't know if you had the name down. When you said those fellas, I thought you were just going to say, those stoner fellas and that thing, whoever they were.
Well,
yeah.
my reference was to a similar fondness, but this next one here, very interesting. You kind of talked about it before. Talking about this before, real wild line movement here. Dallas is, they started the week weighing one at home against the Giants. Now they're getting 2.5. I'm taking into account that line movement. It really makes no sense, because you figure that I'm much higher on the Giants than I am Dallas. But it's a thing where, Dallas has had their number in a couple of different situations, especially earlier this year. I'm going with Dallas, again, in a desperation situation, getting the 2.5 at home.
you know me. I'll defend the potential of the Dallases and Philadelphias of the world to no end. It's why they're talked about more than your favorite team, Blogosphere. But even I was astounded at this opening line. The Giants, to me, could be the best team in the league. Remember I talked about their ceiling. When they're this Eli Manning, I mean, this man has just no conscience. I mean, I was fortunate enough to be in a setting, how shall we say, in Ann Arbor, a local watering hole Sunday afternoon to, you know, a certain melting pot of the Midwest, if you will, up there in Ann Arbor. You had a table full of both Giants and Redskins fans. I love going, by the way, to watering holes, watching games with out-of-mark people, you know, from different markets. I think that's just, you know, I'm kind of a weird guy. I think that's just so fun, really, to be honest. Just all people just interested in all the games instead of, you know, that loser dog pound barking in your right ear the whole time. But whatever, different podcast for a different day. And that was such an exciting game to watch last week, that Giants-Redskins game where Manning came right back, hit the dagger to Victor Cruz. It was fun to watch. But I can't explain it either. I'm going the Cowboys, too. The road team traditionally has done well here. I understand the line move because the Cowboys lost Sean Lee and they lost their center. And the center position has really gotten on the radar of the folks who set the lines in Vegas and offshore. It's rated behind the quarterback as the second most important position on the field to the point spread. I just think that right now so many people are patting the Giants on the back that we'll see the I can't remember any Jekyll and Hyde reference, you know, excuse me for not being, having my theater references now. Jekyll's a good one, right?
Jekyll's
a good half. Okay, yeah.
I think so.
Well, this is gonna be a hot Mr. Hyde game for the Giants. I think. I just think they do something. I think Eli Manning just throws one too many interceptions this week, and the Cowboys. They don't have any advantages. The Giants could be. It makes no sense. I just think that no one's giving them a shot, and with the line move too. You know, that's a public line move. Taking the Cowboys from -1 to +2.5. So I'm going to go against that move. Even with 2.5, I mean, I know the window's small. You could have a patented, you know, Cowboys choke job, like at the end where they give away, you know, a lead and lose by 1 or 2 on a field goal. So,
right.
You know, certainly,
right.
I mean, who would be shocked by that? So with the way Garrett coaches, your boy.
Yeah, exactly. I wouldn't be shocked. We got 5 games remaining here in our limited time. Denver on Sunday night is hosting New Orleans. That's a 6-point line. It's been pretty consistent through the week at 6. I like the points in this one. I think it's going to be a shootout. The Saints have been coming on recently. To me, they're a live dog. I don't think they'll win, but I think they'll stay within the 6.
Yeah, AFC versus NFC. I think it's too many points. I know the Broncos are coming off their bye. I completely agree with you. The Broncos, by the way, going back to last year with Tim Tebow, just stink in the first half.
Right.
I mean, they're always losing at halftime. Don't be surprised to see the Saints get up on them and maybe go into halftime with a lead. Not sure if they can hold on, but they'll get the cover.
Yeah, I would agree with that as well. Conversely, the Monday night game here, Arizona is hosting San Francisco. It's a 7-point line for San Francisco, laying the points, had been 6 earlier in the week. This is another one where I like the dog, but for opposite reasons. I just see this being more of a grind-out kind of a game. I don't see either offense getting on track enough to make this a pull-away kind of a situation. Look for kind of a similar dynamic to when San Francisco played Seattle on Thursday night here. I don't think Arizona's going to win, but 7 points is a lot. San Francisco is not really an offensive juggernaut. They've had their moments this year, but I don't think they're going to cover the 7 on Monday night.
Yeah, you know, another week of just ugly recommended picks. My 4th and final recommendation this week is Arizona. You know me, home dogs. I'm a slave to that home dog. And this just, you know, obviously the Rams are not a traditional home dog, so that's why we didn't do that. But this is a traditional home dog.
You know, home dogs of 7 or more just killed it this year. But, I mean, unless if you're Jacksonville, it's Taylor. I mean, the Cardinals really need this. They're going in the wrong direction. And what a long layoff for the 49ers, too. A Thursday to a Monday night game, they could come out flat early here. And like you said, Arizona's got a good defense. I was pretty disappointed they let me down last week in Minnesota. The deciding score, you know, those who bet that one late, I mean, you know, could have pushed. The line did go up to 7, but I'm going to be fair and count it as a loss. It hovered between, you know, it was 6 or 6.5 the majority of the week. But the deciding score in that game was a defensive touchdown against Minnesota. I just think at home, rare appearance for the Monday night cameras. You know, I mean, one of the last time Arizona's on. The last two times they've been on a Monday night game, by the way, things have not gone well. It was the Denny Green meltdown and the famous Derek Anderson laugh-a-thon. So hopefully things go better here, I guess.
Oh, yeah, good references on those games here.
That just came to me when I was thinking, I'm like, God, how many times is Arizona on Monday Night Football? And I was thinking of those two times came to mind. There may have been some others, but those two didn't go well. But I think this one, I think they'll lose a close one. That's my fourth recommended pick.
Okay, you said 4. Now it's Arizona, Miami, Philly. What's your other one?
Arizona, Miami, Philly, Kansas City.
Oh, Kansas City was recommended also. Okay.
Yeah.
Wow.
Four.
Well, they're
ugly. Needless to say, that will not be your conference championship game participants there.
You talk about progression to the mean. Kansas City's got to come through for you at some point this year, Kyle. So
they have to.
You know,
I think I'm undefeated in all games not involving Kansas City.
You got that going for you here. For my big three that we're going to close with, the first one, you hit on it last week if you joined me in playing against the Browns. They're at home this week. They're laying 3. They're getting 3. At one point in the week, they were only getting 1. The line opened at 1. Kind of weird how it went from, you know, -3 to -1 to -3 again for San Diego. Don't really know what's going on with the line movement there. Having said that, again, I think – as down as people are on San Diego, and I get that, once again, we've said it for some other teams this year, if San Diego loses this game, their season's open, even in the worst division in football. They are not coming to Cleveland to lose after that meltdown against the Broncos here. The Chargers laying the 3 are one of my big 3 picks for the week.
It seems that every week the games you feel the strongest about are the ones I feel the least strongest about, and I either wind up passing or having mild disagreements. This is a pass for me, and I'm going to tell you why. There's just too many factors here that just go against each other. Chargers are off a bye and that horrible loss, so you're right, they should bounce back, but not as a road favorite in an early start time. And every negative thing that has ever been written about the San Diego Chargers came to fruition in that second half of that Monday night game against Denver. And I know the Browns struggle to put points on the board. You know, I could argue that they don't drop. By the way, it's interesting. Before that drop pass, like 10 minutes earlier, I was complaining about the glare, and I was watching the game. Not to excuse it, I'm not a paid professional, but I was like, God, somebody get rid of this dumb glare. It's kind of annoying to watch the game. And then the guy drops the pass.
Yeah.
But I just can't back the Browns with this small a number, though. I know I did it in one big with them against the Bengals. San Diego, I think, slightly better than Cincinnati, though. And they're off the bus. Pass is my call. Pass.
Okay. Well, my other thing, too, is that Trent Richardson is either going to sit this one out or play with severely damaged ribs under a flak jacket. Either way, that's going to put too much pressure on Brandon Weeden, who is struggling most of the time here, making
he's
some
better,
throws.
Though.
He's getting
better, though. He just got no receivers. I mean, to be a rookie who, you know, I mean, let's be honest, I mean, he was the likeliest regarded of the 5 rookie QBs selected in the first round, and to be given just none of these guys really have, Jerry Rice to look to on the outside.
Right,
so,
right. It's real dog crap.
Yeah.
It is. Of the last two that we got here, my non-lock play for the week here, Chicago is at home. They're laying 7.5 against Carolina. It had been 9, and I believe that was a relatively early line move here, and it's primarily because of the line move that I'm going with the Bears. I'm just following this one here. too much disarray with Carolina, too many questions about what's going on there, too many questions about their offense. D'Angelo Williams is passive-aggressively retweeting fan complaints about the offense. The Bears just look like a machine after that Monday night performance. I like the Bears at home laying to 7.5.
You know, all the sleeper teams I picked have stunk this year, but I'm sticking with them to a fault. I think Carolina's going to keep this one close simply because short week, laying more than one score, don't like that situation for the Bears. They did not – I mean, you say they look like a machine, but they only won 13-7 over Detroit at home.
Defensively, I should clarify.
Yeah, they are, and Carolina has been so inept off. I mean, they're a bottom five team right now in this league. The only teams I've got, I mean, I said Oakland and Kansas City were third and fourth worst, and you got Cleveland and Jacksonville. They're probably the worst team in the NFC right now, Carolina. But I'm going to take them. They lose the games close. I don't think they're as bad as people are making out to be. By the way, I think it was 3 weeks ago on this show I told you Ron Rivera stunk, and now everyone's jumping on that bandwagon, for the record. And that GM deserved to go, too. I love when people give him credit, quote-unquote credit, for drafting Cam Newton. Like, it's hard to make the first pick in the NFL draft.
He's horrible. He's the same guy that drafted Jimmy Clausen in the second round the year before and admitted that he wasted the pick with the Cam Newton pick.
The two things on his record that he was being championed for was, they made the Super Bowl, which seems like 100 years ago, and then, picking a guy number one overall. I mean, you didn't have anyone in front of you that takes no skill, pal. I mean, I had read bad things about Marty Herney weeks ago. So, I know I'm going to be come across as a Newton apologist. He's had a terrible year, way underperformed my expectations. But the team is – I just misjudged the talent around them. But I think they'll lose this one close.
Okay. I feel like another caveat. I feel better about the Bears if Alshon Jeffrey was going to be out there stretching the D also. He will not be. So that's something in Carolina's favor. The four teams on the bye this week, Baltimore, Buffalo, Cincinnati, and Houston. My 1,000-star gold-plated lock of the millennium for NFL Week 8. I am 5-2 on these for the season. It's Indianapolis at Tennessee. The Titans are laying 3.5. It's been pretty firm at that the entire week. Indianapolis got a win last week. As you said, kind of lucky to beat a bad Browns team there with Josh Gordon dropping the pass. Tennessee, especially with Hasselbeck in there, it just looks like they got it going on. Like them at home, like Tennessee to cover the 3.5.
Who's starting this week? Shame on me for having to ask this on air.
As of now, I think it still looks to be Hasselbeck.
I'm rooting for Andrew Luck secretly this year because I want him to do just as good or better than RG3. I'm shocked that this is your big play. Like, I hate this game. I'm just going to say because of the hook and I'd cover in a field goal loss, slight lean Colts, honestly. The Titans aren't very good. Who are they to be laying points?
They're at home, and looking at it here,
Indianapolis isn't good. I mean, again, it's kind of funny. I would have these two certainly. I think it's funny. I think I've named my bottom five teams. These are probably the sixth and seventh worst teams in the league. They're right next to each other. I mean, obviously, it's 3.5. Yeah, you got Tennessee slightly above Indianapolis, but the Colts have been pretty competitive, except when they played a really good team, and Tennessee's not really good.
But it's
terrible, by the way.
It's a historically bad AFC. That's what just made, whoever the fifth and sixth teams in the AFC playoffs are going to suck and be worse than probably one, two, three, or maybe even four teams in the NFC that don't make the playoffs. Such is the difference between the conference this year.
Yeah,
we highlighted that early in the season, Kyle. We were ahead of the curve on that. We continue to point it out as we go along.
Yeah, we were. I mean, it's funny that Denver, who doesn't have a lot of talent, is kind of now with Baltimore, they're kind of, mentioned they're on a bye, the Ravens. I mean, the Baltimore looks like they might be taking a bit of a nosedive and, might be a lot closer to, our preseason projection. I think I was a little down. I think I had them at 8-8 or 9-7. So it looks like they're headed for their – people not think Denver's like the third best team. Well, it was like 2 weeks ago. 2-3. And, it was like, really? I just think, like I said before the year, it is a lock for a Houston-New England AFC Championship game.
I think so as well. Looks like it's moving towards that. We're out of time here this week. Kyle, thanks for joining me. We're going to knock them dead on the picks as we have been all year.
All right. Thanks, Ricky. It's always a pleasure.
Thanks, buddy. Take care. All right. See you next week, folks.
As we bring the show to a close, we would like to extend our deepest gratitude to NBC, CBS, ABC, Fox, All Clear Channel affiliates, TNT, TBS, USA, UPN, Deadspin.com, YouTube.com, YTMND.com, MySpace.com, various blogs, Fox News, CNN, CNBC, MSNBC, IamBored.com, Billboard.com, Google.com, ESPN, ESPN2, ESPN News, ESPN Classics, NBA TV, NFL Network, Sports Time Ohio, Athlon Magazine, Comedy Central, Cartoon Network, The Boomerang Channel, QVC, BET, The Spice Channel, Steno Notebooks, Manwich, Papermate Office Supplies, Waitresses, Strippers, Bartenders, Garbage Men, Janitors, Microwave Popcorn, The Writers of The Office, Scrubs, Entourage, My Name is Earl, Oz, Metalocalypse and the Boondocks, Aquafina, and The Periodic Table of Elements.